Welcome to the Collide Podcast. We're a growing community of everyday gals colliding with Jesus in our mess, our pain, our joy, and our stories. We value showing up as we truly are, so that's what you'll find here. Walls and masks being torn down so that we can allow Jesus to meet us where we truly are and hear about other women doing the same. We can't wait to collide with you.
It's a joyful thing for me to try to save as much money as possible on Christmas or my groceries or whatever it is, because I know that the excess gets to be used to grow the kingdom of God.
Hey guys, so glad you hopped on the Collide Podcast. This is Willow Weston, the founder and director of Collide. And today I get to sit with a friend, Angela Davis. She's a Pacific Northwest native. She's a mom of a lot of kids. She lives in Portland, Oregon. She's married to Will. And if you meet Will, you'll never forget Will. And she loves saving money. I actually consider her kind of a genius in this area. And she's hilarious and a straight shooter. Angela is passionate about helping women and families live well on a budget by making every penny count, and shares her expertise at frugallivingnorthwest.com. I have known Angela for many years as we worked for the same ministry years ago, and now she's the founder and boss lady at Frugal Living, and I can't wait to learn from her today. So Angela, thanks for hopping on the pod.
I'm so happy to be here.
I mean, before we even pressed record here today, I've met your cat named Cheeto. Or Marshmallow, one of the two. I've
that
seen
one was
you
Cheeto,
eat
yeah.
My Wago waffle. We've had technical, I mean, we are having a good time, folks.
It's a good day.
It's a good day. Okay, Angela, take us back to when you first started your business. Why did you start it? How did it come to be?
Well, it was back in 2008, and I had found a website that was helping people get bunches of stuff at the grocery store and the drugstores for free with coupons. And so I grew up with a mom who cut coupons and had to do all of that stuff more for economic reasons. And so I kind of learned a lot of those, I don't know, like ways of thinking. And I got very intrigued. I was like, well, there's a lot of free stuff to do, to get right now. So I learned how to do it. If you remember the days before extreme couponing, I was all in. So I had three little kids at that time, and we spent a lot of our days in and out of grocery stores and drug stores. And it was really my big hobby. I had so much fun doing it. And then right a few months into my journey, that's when the economy tanked. So that was, 2007, 2008. And a lot of ladies at my church were asking how I was getting all this stuff for free at the grocery stores. And so I set up a little workshop and had a bunch of women show up to that workshop so they could learn how to do what I was doing. And then the website that eventually became frugallivingnorthwest.com was born out of that, so I could help support those women in their journey to save lots and lots of money. So, you know, was that 15 years? I can't do math. Like, you know, 10 to 14 years ago, my business was very much focused on helping people save money locally, you know, at their brick and mortar stores with coupons and rebates and all that kind of stuff. And then it's morphed as the economy has changed and as people's desire, like how they want to shop, has changed, has moved to more how to help you save money shopping online. And then as well as helping women in particular, not necessarily get the very best deal of all time, because not a lot of us have that type of time, but we just want to know that we're not getting hosed when we go to Costco to buy something. So I'm kind of a coach or a cheerleader at this point, just directing people on where they should be shopping and deals that they can find, and just how you can live a frugal life without being crazy, I guess.
Yeah. And when you talk about this season of life you were in where you were getting a bunch of free stuff at the store, I think people could think that's an exaggeration. But truly, I have to tell you, because a mutual friend of ours worked for you, Kate. And I remember you live in Portland. We were coming down to visit and you let us stay at your house. You were out of town and we stayed at your house. And I remember she let me into the door. And I don't know if we were near your laundry room or whatever, but it was just like massive amounts of diapers and baby wipes. I mean, enough to take care of all of our children, you know, in the Pacific Northwest. It's just so many. And I asked Kate about this and she's like, oh yeah, and like she can walk into a store and like we can get free stuff. And I was like, yeah, right, you know. So Kate takes me to Target one time in my town and she's like, watch. And I watched her and it was like a freaking magic trick. Like, I was like, how did you just go to Target and walk out? Like, I think they gave her change. Like, here's some change back. And I was like, what? I just came from a small town growing up that didn't even have stores that took coupons. And then in high school, I didn't live with my mom and my dad. And so the idea of coupons and saving money, getting free stuff was like, it just felt like a magic trick. And so when you talk about that, you truly mean you were getting free stuff because I was an eyewitness to it. It's so interesting because for people like me who were never invited into the idea that they could save, you know, I just go to stores and buy things at face value, not knowing that I can get them for less. And so you're doing so much work to help people become frugal. Why is being frugal so important to you personally?
Well, I think part of it, like I said earlier, is how the household that I was in, my dad worked at Boeing in the 80s, and it was a tumultuous time for the airline industry, I guess. And so he was laid off a lot of that decade. And so my mom and dad really had to cut a lot of corners, expenses. And so I was at a formidable age, and so I understood that there were cheaper ways to do things. And then as I got older, I've always been interested in that. And then I married possibly the world's cheapest man. So that, you know, that wall of diapers, if I didn't have Will on my side on that, it wouldn't have been so impressive. But like that particular deal was like probably the best deal I've ever done in my whole life. Will and I, my mom was in town. And so we had three, maybe four little kids at the time. So she watched them. We got in his piece of junk Honda Accord that you could barely get in and out of. And we drove around every Walgreens in the Portland metro area. And I'm serious, every single one of them. And we were able to make money buying diapers. It's complicated. It doesn't matter. But we went and cleared out every store of Walgreens brand diapers. And we used, like, I gave them away, but we had a lot of kids in diapers. We used those things for years. And so everything is just kind of stacked up to where I wouldn't say obsession. I'm a very normal person. But it has been encouraged and really celebrated in our household. And I want to save money on the things that we want and need so that we have more money to give away. So that's my real passion is when I read the Bible, I see the purpose of excess. Money is not to be lavishly spent on myself or my children. It is so that I could alleviate the suffering of the poor and the unfortunate and the widow and the orphans. And so whatever I can do and my husband can do and our family can do to save money is that can then be used to give it away. And so that's what I'm in particular passionate about is generous giving and frugal living, being intentional with spending is one of the ways that we get to that point where we can be generous givers.
Mm-hmm. It's so cool that you're bringing this up because I think so many people they sort of decide that they're going to be generous if they have leftovers to be generous with, rather than how can we cut back or save so we can be even more generous. That's kind of a different philosophy on giving. Do you guys have like a budget or like a percentage, or how do you not let all that you want take over your ability to be generous?
Such a good question. So, a couple of things. The first thing is that we live on a fixed income. And what that means is my husband and I both, own our own business. And so businesses, I have nothing to do with his business. He has nothing to do with mine. I'm like doing his books and he's not telling me what to do. Don't mess with my stuff. But so our incomes fluctuate wildly. We decided years and years ago that we would live on a fixed amount of money. Mm-hmm. So whatever, and you know, then we budget it out Dave Ramsey style. And anything that we make above and beyond that, either gets reinvested into, my husband's real estate business, or we give it away. So that's one thing. As our, and as we get more, as we've added more children into our house and as our kids have gotten older, like teenagers are expensive. And that's not just because they want like fancy Air Force Ones and iPhones. I mean, our kids buy that stuff for themselves. It's just expensive to have older kids. So our, in, you know, with driver's ed and college application fees and all of that. So our, in, you know, what we live on every month has increased, but it doesn't increase based on if the two of us are making bank or not. So that has helped. It's helped to keep a lid on the lifestyle that we live. We intentionally do not live the lifestyle that our income may allow. The other thing that we did back in 2007, I believe, we went to like a fundraising gala for a nonprofit ministry organization that we were really excited about. And we had been doing the Dave Ramsey zero-based budget for a couple of years. And so, and we were good. Like if we're going to do something, Will Davis is going to make sure we do it right. And we left that wanting to give to that organization. But we realized that because we're doing so well with Dave Ramsey, every penny of our monthly budget was already allocated for, and we didn't have anything extra. We were giving to our local church. We were giving to some missionaries, but that was budgeted in. So we didn't have room for spontaneous giving like you might do if you go to a fundraising gala, or perhaps you have a friend who lost their job and they need something, you know, right then. So we decided that that point we needed to add a line item in our budget that was for spontaneous giving, so that we realized that you can't just spontaneously give if you don't have it. So we had to plan for that type of giving. And so we've had that up fund, we call it a fund, it's a line item, in our budget for over a decade. And that allows us to respond to needs that come up. And so there, and so it just comes from lots and lots of different ways. And what we have observed, and we're always kind of, we're periodically shocked by, is that as we've done this as a discipline and a practice, our needs are always met. Far more than we could ever imagine. Not only are our needs met, but we also get, like, we live this awesome life. And that's not like a, it's not a recipe. Like if you live on a budget and then you give money away, God makes your wildest dreams come true financially. That's not how it always works out, right? But we've noticed that the more generous we are, and the more intentional we are with the money that we have, the more we are given to then give away again. So I love how God's economy works, is that when we respond in obedience to take care of the needs of the poor, by limiting our consumption and, you know, being intentional with what we spend, then he can allows us to meet the needs of the poor. And then he dumps more and more into our bucket so that I can give more and more away.
Absolutely. I mean, people are going to think I asked you to talk about this, but I definitely didn't. But I have to say, like, as a director of a nonprofit, I am so grateful for people like you who are generous. And making a margin to help the important, meaningful work that we do. Because honestly, there's so many nonprofits and ministries out there helping people in need, but they literally exist because of people like you. Without people like you, we wouldn't exist. And so I'm grateful you bring it up. I think it's a really interesting idea that you're passionate about saving so that you can give more. I hope that passion grows in me, and I know other people might feel convicted by that. I certainly do. I'm curious, as you have kind of studied and watched people's spending over the years as you've grown this huge business, what's the thing that surprises you most about what people overspend on?
I am amazed that I'm surprised that people feel like the stores own them. And what I mean by that is they'll go to the grocery store or they'll go to Costco or whatever. And they're like, I am at the mercy of the prices at these retailers. Like I have to pay the increased prices. And I mean, and we're all experiencing that. We're seeing that at the stores right now with the record inflation that we're experiencing because of the pandemic and some other stuff. It's just, we feel like we are the victims of the pricing at the stores. And what I know to be true from learning some strategic shopping tips and being intentional with spending is, you can change some stuff in how you shop, what you eat, what you're buying, and save a ton of money. So you're in control. I'm in control of the money that I spend, not the stores. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
You're inviting us to change our perspective instead of it being out of our control. You're saying, no, there are some things in your control, and let's kind of analyze them. If you were going to sit down with someone like me, who's an idiot when it comes to this stuff, and invite me into experiencing financial freedom and shifting that perspective, what would be like your first three, like, these are your first three steps that you need to do this week to change, like, turn that upside down that you think the store's in control, but instead you are?
The first thing, and no one ever wants to hear this, and people are just going to smack me, set a budget. And what that means is sit down and figure out how much are you going to spend in a period of time on a certain category. So it's really easy to do it by month or by paycheck. Whatever works best for your family. And you say, in this particular category, and it can be, I suggest that you always go smaller than bigger. So don't say everything I need for my household. That's too overwhelming. Say, this is how much money I'm going to spend on food this month, just at the grocery store. Or this is how much money I'm going to spend on Christmas gifts. And you say, I am not going to spend a penny more than this. So you're putting a boundary around your spending. That in itself puts you in the driver's seat. Because if you're like, well, maybe I'll spend $500 on Christmas, but you know, we'll see what happens. No, you're going to spend more than that. And this is super annoying, Willow. I'm so sorry. But like, if you spend it in cash, it works so much better. And I just lost like every person under 42. I realize that. I'm so sorry. But spending in cash actually it's so much easier to control your budget. Mm-hmm. And I know everyone's like, well, we have an app and my husband has a spreadsheet. Like, fine, use your spreadsheet. I don't think it's going to work, but that's fine. So that's the first thing, is set a budget and absolutely stick to it. And so like you say, I'm going to spend $500 on Christmas, and then only spend $500 on Christmas. Once you put that boundary around your spending, you then have freedom and excitement and motivation to get creative. So then the next thing would be figure out what you're going to buy and then look for deals. So this might require you to go somewhere other than the most convenient grocery store to you, or maybe you don't go, I'm trying to think of like, to Fred Meyer to do your Christmas shopping all in one day. And like, I'm just going to get rid of it. Now I'm talking to, you know, if you work full time and you're taking care of, you know, sick people in your home, dude, go to Fred Meyer and spend your $500 all in one day. You don't have time for this. But for most of us, we do have some time to do some comparison shopping. So if we're talking about Christmas, go out and put some effort into figuring out, you want 4 board games? Well, there's lots of board game deals that happen over the, through November and December. Just so being intentional with that. In the grocery store, it would be look at your weekly ads for like 3 minutes and you can pull it up on your phone. So you're going to go back to the 1980s when our moms were doing this, right? But it's like, what is on sale on that front page of the ad? The very first things that you see, those are called loss leaders. And grocery stores put those items on a giant sale. And it's usually like between 2 and 5 things. It's not very much because they want you to go into the grocery store to buy the half gallon of milk for 99 cents or apples for 88 cents a pound or something like that. They want you to go in the store, buy those deals, and buy the rest of your list at a really high price. Instead of doing that, I go to the grocery store and I buy those loss leaders. I buy whatever my household needs for a couple of weeks. And then I turn around and I go to Winco, which is the low-priced grocery store in the Portland metro area. Do you guys have Winco up there yet?
Yeah, we do. Up north, we do. I think there's a lot of places that might not, though. But yeah.
Yeah. So it would be like in the Northwest, it would be Winco. It'd be Aldi and other areas, might be Super Walmart, because those stores have, they don't do loss leader sales like Safeway and Albertsons and Fred Meyer, Kroger. They just lower their prices on everything a little bit. So then I buy the rest of my list there. That's going to save you tons and tons of money just by being intentional with what you buy. And the third one, is practice saying no to yourself. Practice saying no to your children. Everyone's going to be okay, by the way. Like saying no in whatever category it might be is going to be okay. So if you, so that with grocery store, grocery shopping, that would look like, man, we really want to have steak this weekend. And then you look at the price of steak at Costco and you're like, ah, that's going to blow my budget. Well, it looks like we're going to have hamburgers this weekend. And guess what? Everyone's going to be super okay having a hamburger instead of a steak. For Christmas, that might be, I know that your kid wants an Xbox SX $100 million. I know they do. That's $500. And I can barely find one in stock for you people. That's my people who follow me when I'm trying to find deals. Maybe this isn't the, by the way, this probably isn't the year to buy a console. 2021, because we've got supply chain issues and no one is, they're not putting consoles on sale like they used to before the pandemic. So that might mean you sit down with your kids and say, dude, I would love for you to have a console. Wink, wink, nod. I don't care about a stupid gaming system, but it's not possible. So let's think of some alternatives. So like just forcing everyone in a very loving way to rethink things so that you can set your household up to experience financial peace instead of absolute stress and chaos after the holidays when you get your credit card bill or you can't, you know, pay some other important bill down the road because you spent so much on Christmas.
Your mental, spiritual, and emotional health is worth time, energy, and investment. As women, we can sometimes struggle to find the space and time necessary to focus on rejuvenating our minds and our spirits. But the truth is, our health is worth it. The Collide Counseling Bundle is an online course featuring 12 videos of mental health professionals giving their best advice, journals, resources, and so much more to help walk you through the topics that are most relevant to your life: anxiety, broken relationships, body image, and more. We are so thrilled to be making the resources for a sustainable healing journey available for the same investment as what one therapy session typically costs, $99. It's time to invest in your healing and wholeness. Learn more at wecollide.net/counseling bundle.
So, Angela, speaking of Christmas shopping, so many people get stressed out at Christmas. I mean, what are your tips for enjoying and having and experiencing a lovely holiday while also not breaking the bank?
You want to be strategic with your spending. and your shopping. Just be super strategic. Set that budget tight and then go to town. So we're going into Black Friday. We're in the middle of Black Friday right now. It's not just the Friday after Thanksgiving anymore. And then, so you're going to be able to, I think, get most of your shopping done this upcoming weekend and the first week in December, which is kind of Cyber Monday-ish, and the deals kind of last through there. You can get tons of shopping done that way. And I really suggest, as much as possible, doing your shopping online. It just, unless you like, you love going Black Friday shopping, like with your mom and your sisters and your friends, that's great. But the deals are really happening online, especially with the pandemic. Retailers don't want a ton of people in their stores. They want people online shopping there. So I get so much of my shopping done on Thanksgiving morning, kind of like into the early afternoon, as my mom's making a lovely Thanksgiving, like Thanksgiving meal. I'm like on my computer. And then as you go through the weekend, you can get lots of shopping done. This year in particular, we're going to see some funky pricing because of the inflation that we're experiencing in the economy. That doesn't mean that you're going to spend 25% more than you did in previous years. It just means you need to really be aware of what you're buying. And I suggest that if you're noticing higher prices than you're comfortable paying, maybe this Christmas focus on experience gifts as opposed to stuff. So maybe like a membership somewhere, or taking your kids to Great Wolf Lodge, or, you know, some other like weekend away. I'm not talking about like, instead of buying a Switch, like take your kids to Disneyland. Like that's not equal. Buy the Switch. You're going to save so much money. We just got back from Disneyland. It's not cheap. But experience types of gifts, are going to be less impacted by the inflation that we're going to be seeing this Christmas, as well as probably going into 2022. So setting that budget, being intentional with what you spend. Think through, if you have younger kids, as you're buying a gift, what are the chances of this gift ending up in my garage sale in the summer? That's what I always do. I'm like, is this piece of plastic going to be on a garage sale table for a dollar? And if I say, yeah, there's a pretty good chance, I don't buy it. And that's not because like I want to have a high resale value on something, but it's like, this indicates that like my kid's probably not going to use it. So, and then be really kind of creative. So it's like the whole funny thing, like if your kid needs toothpaste in November, you're going to say, hold off. You'll get that at Christmas. You know, that ends up in the Christmas stocking. You know, I was looking on the internet today. I'm doing my work and I saw squeeze cheese out of a can. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. You put on crackers. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to put that in my boy's stocking. So instead of like going out and buying expensive things for their stockings or their gifts, like I'm going to wrap up some squeezy cheese and those fools are going to be so excited. So just being like creative that way. It won't work for my 17-year-old daughter. I don't
I'm loving this idea. You bring up shopping on Thanksgiving and Black Friday sales. Okay, I am the chick who's never shopped a Black Friday sale in my life.
What are you doing on Friday after Thanksgiving?
Getting my tree with friends. We have like a 25-year.
Oh, you're going snowshoeing and singing worship songs around the fire, aren't you? Oh,
no, gosh. No, way less spiritual. But when you talk about these sales, these Black Friday sales, I don't even have a clue. Like, how do you know you're getting an actual deal? Where do you go to find the deals? How do you know the best Black Friday deals?
If this is the really simple way, you go to the grocery store or the Dollar Tree or the drugstore as early as possible on Thursday morning. I mean, this is so old school right now, and you get a paper. That, like, to me is the easiest way. You could also go online to figure it out, but the stuff on the first couple of pages are going to be the best deals. And you know what, Willow, you know what a good deal on towels are. Like, you know, Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, you kind of can feel like when you see buy one, get one free board games at Fred Meyer the day after Thanksgiving, you're like, well, I bet that's a pretty good deal because it's on the front of the ad, and buy one, get one free sounds really good.
I think I just get overwhelmed when I hear people talk about, oh, did you know you can get like a TV for only this amount at Best Buy? And then did you know on Amazon this? And I'm like, there's so many stores mm-hmm. that you can shop from now. I'm so overwhelmed by where you even start to know where the good deals are and how many and what.
Yes. And so, I'm glad you brought that up. I need to blog about this or put it on Instagram. start with a couple of stores. Start like for you, I would just start with one store. Say like, I enjoy shopping at Target. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to watch between now and, you know, the week before Christmas or whatever. I'm going to watch the Target sales. I'm going to see what deals are on the front of their website, what deals are on the front of their ad. And I'm going to see if I can save some money on the stuff that I want to buy or that my kids want for Christmas or whatever. Or maybe you're like, I have a Fred Meyer or a Kroger. Fred Meyer is really big in the Northwest. So I apologize to your out of Northwest people. But like, I love shopping at Fred Meyer. It's close. You can get great deals at Fred Meyer, both on Black Friday. And it's not just the socks and underwear that are half off. There's other good stuff there. But also through the next couple of weeks as we go into Christmas, you can find great deals there. And then I'm going to super toot my own horn right now. And that is, that's my entire job at Frugal Living Northwest, is that my team and I curate the deals for you. And so you don't necessarily have to, like someone like you, Willow, this would work really well. Like you don't have to go out and become an expert at saving money. You can just follow what we're doing. And you're like, hey, my kid wants fuzzy socks. That's probably a bad example. I don't know. What does your kid want for Christmas?
Oh, my son is making beats and music. So he wants like a bunch of like tech stuff around that. And my daughter wants a bunch of like, you know, Converse and
AF1. Okay, so teenage boys are so annoying. Like, what am I going to go buy sound equipment for you? I can definitely mess that up.
When you're in a dorm and you live right next to an RA, good idea.
Boys. But like your daughter, she wants Converse. She wants Air Force Ones are not a good example, but like those types of things. So what I do, what my team and I do at Frugal Living Northwest is that we tell you when there's a deal on Converse. And that's not like we're telling Willow there's a deal on Converse. I'm not like messaging you. I mean, I might message you because you're my friend, but like I'm not messaging individual people, but you'll just watch what we are posting and sharing and then jump on the deals that you're excited about or you know that's on your list. So that, and then you can also ask like, hey, is this deal that I found on Converse, is this good? And we'll let you know if we think you should do it or not. And so we really highlight the bigger stores that most people know about. We talk about Costco and Amazon and Kohl's, even though, oh, I hate Kohl's, but people love it. So I talk about it. Target and Walmart, the big stores where they ship everywhere and that most of us have access to. And we'll tell you where all the deals are and if it's... Mm-hmm. And give you the confidence to know that you're not getting hosed when you do that deal or when you buy that gift.
So you guys post on the regular, like every day, multiple times a day, and you let people know these are tremendous deals. So people can skip the whole, like me, going to, you know, Best Buy, Amazon, being overwhelmed by all these, like all this research. And I can go to your website and you're going to tell me here's some deals. And if any of those seem like things I want to buy, I have the straight shot to the key info.
Exactly. That's exactly what we do. So we post.
You put it on horn and I got back there and I blew horn too. No, but actually for real though, not just to toot your own horn, but I think you're inviting me into a new practice and you've kind of made it spiritual for me, which I probably need. But before I go into a store, the idea of even pulling up the store's website, like we have a Hagen in my neighborhood. It's a grocery store. I have never looked on their website to see what their deals are. And so if I look at their website as a practice before I go into the grocery store, like you're encouraging me to do, the money I save doing that, I can give to someone in need. You've now invited me into kind of a spiritual practice before I go shopping. I like this, Angela. Mm. I don't want my husband to hear this, but I like it.
I'm so sorry. Well, and the other thing too is if the more you do that, the more you're intentional with your spending and strategic with your saving, it can be used for generous giving. It can also be used to alleviate financial stress in your household. Mm-hmm. So if you are if you're drowning in debt, or if you can't pay an electric bill, all those types of things that create an enormous amount of like physical stress in us, but also relational stress with the people that we're living with, that can be a huge thing. And then also what I would tell you is, are you just going to Hagen and buying your list?
Is this an intervention on my life? Is that what
I'm like rocking. I don't know what to do with
this. No. I don't always go there, but I definitely like it's a go-to because it's the closest place. And yeah. I work so many hours that it's like, oh, shoot, we need dinner and it's 6 o'clock and I have no groceries, you know? So you definitely overspend when you live into that kind of rhythm and routine.
And this also illustrates that like as women in particular, who are kind of the managers of the household, regardless of what our job is during the day, we go through different seasons in life. So younger women women who maybe they're at home all day or most of the day and they have little kids, you might have more time to do research and to drive around to stores. And I know like shopping with kids is a total pain, but believe me, you have more time than you do money, probably given your stage of life. You and I are, you know, middle-aged and we can go wherever we want without children, which is lovely. And we have sometimes more money than time. And so for you, it might be not that you're like driving around town trying to find the best deal, but it is being intentional when you go to Hagen to say, okay, what's on sale? And maybe you see that like spaghetti's on sale and you're like, we eat spaghetti once a week. So say I'm going to buy enough spaghetti, which is going to be like a box a week, to get us through a month or two until spaghetti's on sale again. And so you buy 8 boxes of spaghetti for $8 and you just saved a whole bunch of money. Mm-hmm. And then putting into the practice, maybe every other week or once a month, you hit up Winco or Aldi or whatever is a discount store, grocery store in your area. That's just going to save you a whole lot of money right there. And that's not like a ton of work for you and me. That's like an extra 15 minutes a week to plan. And then as people get older, they are, you know, as they're reaching retirement age and stuff, that you're spending a lot less money on food anyways, because you're shopping for less people. And so then you would, again, maybe go for convenience, not shop at Costco as much, because you like my mom and dad going to Costco. I'm like, what are you doing here, people? I know you love it, but you don't need that many hash browns. So
I love that you have advice for people who are in all different scenarios, circumstances, seasons, socioeconomic status. I mean, I think it's really interesting that all of us have some sense of control where we can most likely cut back. And so you have all these ideas. I'm kind of curious how you invite your own children. I mean, I know they were born into it, but how do you invite them out of this consumeristic mindset at Christmas into the meaning of Christmas and yet still have gift exchanges?
Okay. So first of all, we're not great at it. So we don't have everything together. goodness.
I thought you did. I thought you were perfect.
Yeah. You know, part of it is a year-long thing with us. We generally don't buy our kids stuff outside of their birthday and Christmas. And we buy our kids clothes, the things that they need. They have wonderful lives. So my kid's starting basketball. I bought him basketball shoes. He got one pair of basketball shoes for me. So they are used, and we give them lots and lots of opportunities to make money. So they are used to not being showered with stuff from us. So they already have kind of low expectations with that. And I think that everyone can start moving to that type of system where your kids are working for money. And by the way, you overpay kids for the money that they do. Most of them are useless, but we've got to teach them how to work to make money, right? And then invite them to buy their own extra stuff. So we do have a limit on what kids are getting. So they know to not ask for an iPhone, because I'm not buying you an iPhone. You can buy your own iPhone. And by the way, they will figure out a way to buy themselves an iPhone, those types of things. So they have pretty low expectations for Christmas. And so they might have stuff on their list. Like I asked my 9-year-old, start writing a list. And she's like, well, she said she wanted a phone. I was like, well, you know, you're not getting that. So they write things on their list and I'm like, you know, you're not getting that. So whatever. So like, let's make some more like realistic things. And then during Christmas, we do lots of giving money away, buying things for people. So we'll sit down and we have some kids that we sponsor through Africa New Life Ministries in Rwanda. And they, you know, we pick out gifts for them on the organization's website. You know, just try to get involved in the community and being generous that way. And my kids on Christmas morning, one of them is always going to be irritated and ticked off because they didn't get as much as someone else. So there is no cure. Parents, like, we can't parent the greed and sin out of these people's hearts. Right? I mean, we think that, like, if I just did it right, it would be wonderful.
I told you she was a straight shooter, but also hilarious.
They're all turds, Willow. Every last one of them. And if you have one or two kids, you're like, why are they so rotten at Christmas or, like, you know, whenever it might be? Like, what did I do wrong? You should have had 5 kids like me, and you realize I didn't do anything wrong. They're all like this. So, anyway.
You're hilarious. Okay, I have only a couple more questions for you. And one is, I hear this a lot from other people. We don't have a large extended family, so we don't have gift exchanges. But a lot of people inherit other people's consumeristic expectations around the holidays where, you know, they're in some gift exchange or they're expected to get every sibling and every sibling's kids, you know, gifts, and it gets really stressful. So do you have any advice either on how to save money in gift exchanges or how to have hard conversations with families around, hey, we love this gift exchange, but it's not possible for us? I mean, how do people navigate the hardship of the familial expectations around gift giving that are causing a lot of stress?
Man, that is so difficult. I'm similar to you. Like, we have extended family, but we don't have never done that before where everyone's gifting everyone else. So it's much easier when that's not even a part of it. I would say be as early as possible. And you've got to do this before people start Christmas shopping. Like, this conversation needs to happen summertime or even before that. But you can like bring it up during Thanksgiving. The best way to do it is to say, we have decided as a family, or, you know, my husband and I, or, you know, myself, whatever family situation you're in, we have decided that to take control of our finances. You got to start with something bigger than just Christmas. Not like we want to spend less on Christmas, but like, we need to start saving more money. We need to get out of debt. Money is way too much of a stress on us. And so one of the things that we've decided to do, not the only thing, because then people are going to feel like you're being cheap just on them, but like, we are cutting expenses in every area of our life so that we can have peace in our home. We can stop fighting, whatever it is, be real honest. And we have this much money to spend on Christmas. And I've run the numbers, and we just cannot buy gifts for everyone. What do you guys think we should do as a solution? So that would be like, that's the hard conversation, and it's going to tick people off. Or maybe it won't. Maybe you'll be surprised that your mom and dad are like, oh, I'm so impressed with you. Yes, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, for those of you who have little kids, this might be a good start, is by, as you know, kids go into the family, saying to your brothers and sisters and, you know, all the aunts and uncles and everything, saying, my child has enough. Will you please not give them any gifts for Christmas? Like, starting there. So it's less about, I don't want to spend my money on your kids or, you know, on you. It's, will you please not buy us anything? We don't need anything. We'd rather go out to dinner with you or something like that. So let them off the hook, say like, we don't need anything from you. That opens the door. Like, you're just not, oh, you're not just trying to be cheap. Like there's something bigger going on. And then maybe if you know it's going to be really rocky, that conversation, say, could maybe this year we do do a family gift instead of buying each individual kid a gift. What you really want to do is to avoid putting a judgment on how other people in your family are doing life, and more like, I need to set a boundary for my children and myself. So mm-hmm. I don't want my kids to only see that Christmas is about getting a ton of junk that they never use again. We need to get less stuff. And you know what? You're going to step in it regardless, because changing family patterns, especially when it comes to money and traditions, is going to tick people off.
Mm-hmm. It's just so interesting. Is. Just, it's such good advice. It's also so triggering. Like I mentioned, I didn't have a large extended family, but I had my mom, and she's anti-consumeristic, anti-materialistic, mm-hmm. which is great. But oftentimes her opinions would come out really judgmentally and in ways where it became kind of like, oh, I'm disgusted by the Christmas mm-hmm. gift exchange. Like, I'm not going to show up. And that just sort of created like a wedge in our holiday experiences, rather than her just saying, you know, I have enough. When she did say that, like, I have enough, I don't need anything, I just want to spend time with you, I could respect that. But it is really, I don't know, tender ground on how we communicate with each other, because we have different sort of experiences. We have different numbers in our bank account. We have different values, and it can be so hurtful. And overall, like, relationship is so much important than our differences in what we want to do for gift exchanges. So it's all about communicating it in love and really speaking like, this is what's going to work for me, but without being judgmental to the other person. I love that you brought that up, because I think that's where it creates issues around the holidays that can live on for decades. And it really is unnecessary. It's like, if you can't afford to do the gift exchange, it's completely okay to express, like you said, we can't afford this. We love it, but we can't afford it. And so we're going to have to choose to do something differently. What do you think would be a good option? Feels really peaceful to me. So I love that advice. It's so good.
Sometimes we are in a position where we need to choose peace over what might be best and perfect for our own family. So if you know it's going to be a thing, like a giant, like there's not just that you're scared of conflict on that conversation, but you just know it's going to become a thing that breaks your family, it's not worth it. So in that case, I would say then you could be super intentional and strategic throughout the year. And say, okay, I know I have to buy my nieces and nephews gifts. And so you say that's January 1st. I know that in 11 and a half months, I'm going to have to show up with gifts for my nieces and nephews who don't need a single thing. And we can't afford to buy them something awesome. But what I can afford to do is to spend $15 on each of them in December. And I'm going to spend the next 11 and a half months looking for meaningful, cheap things that I can get for them and hold on to them so they can give them at Christmas. So if you're like, oh man, I got to buy 4 stupid gifts for my nephews and nieces and it's December 15th, you're going to spend too much money. But if you're like, well, my niece who's 9 loves drawing and like office supplies and stuff in July, when the school supply deals come out, you can buy a couple of things and make a nice little basket for her. And you've spent $10 and you've met that that family obligation that you have, even though you disagree with it, you think it's dumb and you want to get away from it. Sometimes I just want to give people the permission that, like, sometimes it's okay to say, I'm going to play the game because I want to have Christmas. You know, my husband and I have experienced like family breakup, and I'm like, man, sometimes it's just not worth it. So I just want to give that freedom to those of you who are like, yeah, but you don't know what's going on in our household or in our family.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I mean, you're inviting us to pre-plan. We'll definitely save money by pre-planning. I also think, you know, you weigh through those things and go, you know, if I buy this game 6 months in advance and I save it for my nephew, even though I don't like this gift exchange, but it's going to create peace, great. But if you're handing it over and you're bitter, you're going to have to deal with the bitterness. But that's for another podcast.
We got to check our bitterness at the door, right? Yeah.
Yeah, we can do a podcast on praying through our bitterness. I want to ask you one last question, because I know you and I could talk forever, but you've been helping people save money for years and years and years, and have invited women into freedom financially and helping them set budgets and make every penny count. And a lot has changed over the course of your work in the world, in the economy, in the ways people shop, what they shop for. In all the change that's happened in the last 20 years, what has remained constant when it comes to being frugal?
What has remained constant is, oh, this is going to sound so hokey, but what has remained constant is our heart. That our, is the necessity of knowing that when I cultivate a content heart when it comes to what stuff I have and what lifestyle I live and the house I live in and what my kids get and they don't get, all of that. If I can create through the power of the Holy Spirit and, you know, following the example of Jesus, a content heart, all of this other stuff becomes, you know, saving money and all of that is a joyful practice. It's a joyful thing for me to try to save as much money as possible on Christmas or my groceries or whatever it is, because I know that the excess gets to be used to grow the kingdom of God, you know, and to bless people and to fulfill what I believe our wealth is to be used for, which is to alleviate the suffering of the poor. So it starts with my heart. And if my heart is content and my heart wants to honor God with my money and my household's money, and my heart wants to be generous, then all of this other stuff becomes a fun game. You know, I see saving money at the grocery store, a fun game. Saving money on Christmas presents, super fun game. Trying to find the least expensive Dame Sevens basketball shoes for my son. That's a game, and it's not a burden for me, because it comes from a heart that's been transformed by Jesus. All of that is understood, that I am privileged with a partner who makes a full-time income, and I have time, and I have a car so I can drive places, and I have internet connection, and all of those. Like, I'm acknowledging how much easier it is for me than for other people. But yeah, that relationship with Jesus and my contented heart. And I still struggle with that, by the way, you know, controlling my wants. That's the thing that has stayed the same. And then the strategies on how we save money changes over time as the economy changes and, you know, apps that come and go and, you know, all of those things. But the strategies change, but my heart stays the same.
Angela, thank you for making space today. I think you're inviting us into something deeper here at the end to cultivate a content heart. And when we're in that place, we can really engage our money and our spending so much differently. And I appreciate you making us think. I appreciate all you're doing in the world. And I know that you've invited me into a new practice. And for everyone listening who wants to go check out all your deals and all that you do, how can they do that?
Well, I'm at frugallivingnorthwest.com. You can also find me on Facebook for the Gen X and baby boomers, Frugal Living NW. And then for your millennials and Gen Zers, I'm on Instagram at Frugal Living NW. So just search around Frugal Living NW or Northwest and you will find me. One of the primary things that we do over the holidays is we run a Facebook group that where we really do a lot of deal sharing there. So you can easily find our best Christmas deals Facebook group. And that's where most of the fun happens.
And thank you for hanging out today.
Thank you for having me.
Fun to connect with you. It's been too long. For those of you listening, so glad you hopped on the podcast today. I hope that in some way, shape, or form, the Lord is cultivating in you a content heart. And I know that as we celebrate the Emmanuel, God with us, He is with you in all of the stress that comes with the holidays, with gift exchanges and family stuff and spending and all of the things that come at us this season. I hope you sense Him near to you. Keep running into Him. He loves you. He hears you. He sees you. And we'll catch you next week.
If you love Collide or have been impacted by our work, then we'd love to partner with you. We rely on the generous support of donors to fuel the life-changing work we do to create spaces for women to collide with Jesus in the midst of their brokenness. You can join the movement by becoming a monthly donor or making a one-time donation. Learn more at wecollide.net/give.
Thanks for tuning in. To keep up with us, you can find us on Instagram at we.collide, on Facebook as at wecollidewomen, and you can also visit our website at wecollide.net to find our blog, resources, event information, and more. One last thing. If you enjoyed this episode, would you take a few seconds and leave us a review? It seems like such a small act, but reviews help us to keep producing this content and help other women find it too. Thanks so much for tuning in to today's episode and letting us walk with you as you seek and collide with Jesus.